Rushdoony Radio presents Systematic Theology in Two Volumes by Russus John Rushdoony, narrated by Nathan F. Conkey, produced with permission by the Chalcedon Foundation. 7. Systematics and Possibility. We have seen the dangers in speculative theology and in abstract thought. It is necessary now to look briefly at another manifestation of the same kind of evil, the question of possibility. In many theologies, a whole world of possibility exists apart from God. In fact, some professors, and sometimes pastors, delight in raising hypothetical questions relative to possibilities outside of God's decree. Thus, a favourite seems to be, quote, "What would have happened if, after Eve submitted to the tempter, Adam had refused? What would God have done then?" End quote. Similarly, the Scofield Bible notes manifest the same mentality. Thus, we are not told that Jesus, in his triumphal entry, entered Jerusalem as the Messianic King, but rather that he made a, quote, "public offering of himself as king," end quote, and being rejected, the cross became necessary. All such thinking involves an implicit denial of the God of Scripture. The premise concealed in these ideas is that the God revealing himself in the Bible does not exist. If God is indeed God, then all possibility exists in terms of his sovereign decree, and there is no possibility outside of God. To imagine a fall involving only Eve, or a possibility with regard to Christ's entry other than that God ordained and brought to pass, is to deny the sovereignty of God. God is not then in control of history, but man and chance govern it. All factuality is God created and God ordained. Nothing exists apart from his creation and purpose, and every fact in creation is totally created, governed, and directed by the sovereign God. Even more, every aspect of history, every moment of time, and every event therein is of God's ordination. This total predestination extends to the very hair of our heads, Matthew 10:30, and to every atom of all creation. There is no existence, potentiality, or possibility outside of God's ordination. To affirm any possibility outside of God is to affirm the ultimacy and sovereignty of chance. It means that God is not sovereign, and that a vast and unlimited reservoir of possibility exists outside of him. This great reservoir of possibility can at any moment limit, undercut, or alter God's purposes and deny his deity. Those who raise the question, quote, "What would have happened if, after Eve submitted to the tempter, Adam had refused? What would God have done?" end quote, are indignant when I object to their supposedly harmless theological exercise. But what they have done is to insist on the ultimacy of chance and its priority to and superiority over God. Chance events can impede, alter, or destroy God's purpose, and sovereignty is clearly conveyed to the great God, chance. Some theologians who claim to believe in systematic theology still affirm the idea of possibility outside of God. Clearly, all non-Reformed theologies and humanists affirm such a doctrine of possibility. Why? Is it not, in fact, a fearful destiny for man to be taken out of God's sovereignty and providence and placed under chance? However, quote, hard, end quote, a doctrine of predestination may be, it still places us under God's total government and in a universe of total meaning. The affirmation of any possibility apart from the decree of God, on the other hand, places us in a meaningless universe and in the context of senseless events. Why do men choose such a faith and defend it passionately? The answer is that, whatever the cost, this view of possibility gives man autonomy over God. In a graveyard, the living man is king over all, and man the sinner prefers a graveyard without God to the Garden of Eden with God. Chance reduces his universe to senselessness, but man becomes God over this chaos. James Dann, in A Theology of Grace, 1954, holds that it was finally and ultimately in Adam's power not to sin. Only so, he holds, can we hold to any genuinely Christian faith which preserves man from sheer determinism. Such a position clearly contradicts Scripture, such verses as Ephesians 1, 4 and 5, and denies that, before the foundation of the world, we were predestined unto salvation. It would reduce God to playing a situation ethics type of game, reacting to man rather than creating and governing man. Moreover, to speak then of free will is wrong on several accounts. Among other reasons, first, men like Dann insist on viewing man's freedom in an absolute sense. But man is a creature, and his freedom is a creaturely and limited freedom. Man does not choose his own nature, time and place of birth, sex, aptitudes or anything else in this direction. Because he is a creature, not God, and not the first cause, man's freedom is a limited, derivative and secondary freedom. Man's freedom is the freedom to be the man God created him to be, not the freedom to be a god. Moreover, his creaturely freedom differs in terms of his estate, that is, the states of innocence, the fall, grace and glory, each gives man a differing form of creaturely freedom. Second, free will cannot exist in a vacuum. If the sovereign God of Scripture be denied, the alternative is a world of chance and meaningless events in which freedom has no meaning. In the Greco-Roman world of the early church, the pagan thinkers who affirmed the free will of man against the church fathers also ended up with no freedom at all. In their universe, as C.N. Cochrane's Christianity and Classical Culture makes evident, freedom could not exist. The forces of the environment, hostile, fortuitous, and alien to man, overwhelmed man. Freedom cannot exist in a world of chance and anarchy. Freedom presupposes planned movement in an orderly and peaceful world. Third, we have here two alien views of possibility. Those who oppose the sovereignty of God insist that possibility means simply a vast, meaningless, undirected, and fortuitous realm of erupting events, that is, a universe of chance. They are insistent that possibility be linked with chance, even though such a concept of possibility reduces history and the universe to chaos. Possibility thus becomes the product of accident rather than necessity. The mentality of the gambler is a faith in the sovereignty of accident and chance. The mathematical odds against him are meaningless. In fact, the, quote, long shot, end quote, appeals to him most, because believing as he does in chance, he must affirm the result which best expresses the idea of chance. Reasoning with him on the facts of the matter will not work, because reason is ineffectual, where the faith is not in reason, but in chance. On the other hand, for a Christian, possibility is not linked with chance, but with necessity. And both possibility and necessity are inseparable from the decree of God. No possibility exists outside of God's decree. Because God is God, he is the source of all possibility, and nothing can alter or delay his decree. Thus, the question about Adam and the possibility of Adam's continued innocence is invalid and immoral. It presupposes something other than God as ultimate, namely chance. The foundation of all systematic theology must be not abstract or speculative theology, but biblical theology and the sovereign God of Scripture. Anything else gives us, finally, another religion.
Well done for listening all the way to the end. This is Nathan, the narrator, speaking to you from Puebla, Mexico, from the Faith for All of Life school, in which I teach English as a volunteer. I teach from kinder through high school. Now, I rely on donations in order to keep teaching and recording, so if you want to support a Faith for All of Life school in Latin America, and want to keep listening to Rush Dooney while you vacuum, drive or cook, commute or whatever you're doing right now, donate at cten.org/Nathan Conkey. That's NathanConkey, all lowercase. Or if you prefer PayPal, paypal.me/NNathan, capital C Conkey. You can also email me at nfconkey, that's nfconkey@gmail.com. Thanks, and I look forward to speaking to you very soon.